There's an adventure in every cup waiting for you at Expedition Roasters. Expedition Roasters is the artisanal roaster of specialty Disney and pop culture themed coffees. So why not brew some magic at your home? Some of our coffees include Skipper's Brew, Ghoulish Delight, Enchanted Tiki Coconut, Redhead Rum, and many other unique roasts. Our coffees are certified gluten and allergen-free and feature unique custom artwork by guest artists. So start your adventure today by visiting us online at expeditionroasters.com. And Disney Nerds podcast listeners, be sure to take advantage of this exclusive offer and save 20% on your first purchase with code DISNERD20. Brew your happy place. That's expeditionroasters.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 226 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the tours that we want to see at Walt Disney World. Before we get to that, though, let me let you know who's on the show with me tonight. First off, we have Lisa. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
How you doing tonight, Ed?
Doing good, doing good. Nice live show this week.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I try to get on at least every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney time to see you guys. And speaking of you guys, hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Hello, I am fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, good, good, good. It's been pretty hot down by you, hasn't it?
It has, but we actually have a cool front pushing through today. Not a cold front, I would say, but just a cool front. It's been in the 80s the past week, but tomorrow and this weekend are supposed to be in the 70s. Beautiful.
Nice. Very nice. And also with us tonight to help us talk about this topic is Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Doing good.
Morgan.
Now, you're how many days away?
I am leaving on Saturday.
Nice. So, Morgan's going to be down in the parks, guys, all next week. Look for some of her live recordings on her Facebook Disney Nerds podcast page.
Yeah, I'm even going to try to go live on our Instagram, too.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, aren't we the social outlet?
I did that last November.
On the IG?
Yep, I went live.
Nice.
Well, I'm not cool enough to pay attention to that. I try and pay attention to Instagram a little bit. I know that's the, like, my kids are like, Facebook, what's Facebook? It's all about.
For old people.
Yeah, it's right. It's all, for them, it's all about IG and Snapchat.
Yeah, no, I have to get.
Yeah, I don't think we're, ready for Snapchat yet. We're not ready.
Gotta let that technology age a little bit to catch up with us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the way. Before we start, I have two quick announcements. The first one was the opening date for Toy Story Land in Hollywood Studios. Did you guys hear all about that?
Yay! Yeah.
June 30th.
I'm only booing because I'm going at the beginning of. I'll be there at the beginning of June, and it's opening at the end of June. Let's just pray for a soft opening or an AP preview.
Yeah, 4 weeks.
You knew it was going to be a crapshoot when we made those reservations. We had talked about the potential of it opening that weekend. And I think a lot of people that I've seen on social media sites have said, I don't understand why everything's booked at the end of May. And I think a lot of people thought the same thing we did, that it was going to open the end of May.
Right. And that's what, you know, Avatar Land opened Memorial Day week, which is the week we're going, because that's, you know, when they say it's going to open in the summer, that week, Memorial Day week, is actually the start of summer. So we thought we had a good chance, but I guess they're not ready for us.
I'll be going down the last week in June. So I lucked out in that I'm going to be in the area, and I was going to be pulling out of Dodge around July 1st,
because we have a wedding on the 30th, I'm booking a couple more days. I'm going to go back to the Disney World for the opening of that. Take a look.
You, lucky you.
Yeah, hopefully.
And I'm going on the 4th of July for a long weekend, so
it's going to be incredibly busy.
Well, I'm hoping the best thing about it is going to be Pandora is going to be empty.
Well, I was about to say, do you think how much from Pandora you think it's going to pull? I mean,
everything.
And do you think it's going to be as crazy as Pandora? When Pandora opened, like, it did not handle the crowds well.
Right. Oh, it's going to be.
No, it didn't.
I think it's going to be just as crazy. And Hollywood Studios, it's going to be just as much of a nightmare because there's only one way in the park. And to get to Sunset Boulevard, you're going to be on that one way into the park where the line's going to be heading out to Toy Story Land.
No, okay. I know it's going to be busy, but I'm still jealous of you guys. I wish I could be down there, and I'm still hoping for a soft opening or a preview.
Right. Well, I'm sure we'll get something. The other thing we wanted to talk about, too, was that we're going to start a new thing on the show where we're going to kind of pick one of the emails that we got over the course of the last week and basically talk about if it was a good topic and send that person kind of a swag bag. So for this first time we're doing it, it's going to be for Joseph Hoffman. Hey, Joe, how's it going? Thanks for getting in touch with us. And Joe's email was all about the show we talked about where we played the music from the pre-show to Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. And he wanted a little bit more information on that. And I was more than happy to give it to him. I love that whole idea, that the whole pre-show and such like that. And so I was more than happy to send it out. I sent them out the email with the link to the YouTube video, which is pretty awesome to see the Kodachrome and the Kodak video with the audio. And Joe will also be getting a swag bag. So you guys want to get involved, send us your emails. And then each week we're going to randomly pick one person to be announcing the show and get himself a swag bag.
That's awesome.
Yep. Very cool.
Very cool.
Yep. So hopefully be there in a couple of days, Joe. One other little bit of news, and this just happened actually yesterday. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the past, but my son's spending the semester in England for college. So he's over across the Atlantic. And this spring break, it seems like we have it set up that I'm going to be going over and meeting him in Paris and going to Disneyland Paris to boot. Kind of came out of nowhere. And if you remember the whole Disneyland thing last year, it's almost the same thing. He had planned to do this on his own, and kind of in the last couple days was talking to my wife about it, saying how he might not be as comfortable going by himself, and I just happened to be off that week, so yeah, it works out.
You get the ultimate hall pass.
Yeah, that's no right. So what I'm going to do is hopefully in the next couple weeks bring you in on some of the planning and some of what I'm going through getting ready to go to Disneyland Paris, and then, of course, once we get there, we're going to figure out how to get some video to you guys while I'm there. But definitely once I get back, we'll be talking all about it.
Very cool.
I can't wait.
Now I have to learn how to speak French.
Oui, oui, oui.
Or actually, I don't. In the last couple of days, I've actually heard a bunch of stories about people that literally just go to the airport in Paris and get on the train to Disneyland Paris and end up in the park, and they don't have to speak French at all. Although we're going to definitely spend some time in Paris in addition to this.
Sure.
How can we not? I don't know when I'll get there again.
That's awesome.
Okay, so the topic for this week, we were talking about this the other day because we were on the list of tours talking about what we might want to try for next year's November meetup. We had such a great time with the Behind the Scenes tour that we were trying to figure out what to do. And as we're going through the tours, we noticed the ones that are available. There's a bunch of them that are kind of like on hold because they're seasonal. And what we decided was, you know what? We had enough ideas on our own of what we really want to see in a tour. We decided to give it a shot and throw that out there for you to think about. So what we're going to do is we'll start. We'll throw the ideas out there, and then we'll probably jump on it and see if it's a really good idea and what we can add, what we can take away, and how we can modify it. What do you guys think? We do this?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. Who wants to start out, actually? I need to take a breath. I've been talking too long already.
I know when we started talking about this particular topic, you know, Angela and I had sat and talked about one of the experiences we had. We've done Keys to the Kingdom, and we did it on our honeymoon. And we had the luxury of catching the cast members backstage practicing for the Very Merry Christmas Party parade, which was something I never thought in a million years I'd ever experience. And we thought, wouldn't it be really cool if they provided that as a tour, an experience where you see how they prep and get everything rolling for the holidays?
Oh, well, you know what? I kind of actually think they might have something similar to that right now in one of the tours they have. It's kind of on hold now, of course, because it's not the holiday season. But I think it's one of the new ones I was looking at as we were going through this list.
Really?
Let me think. I think it's the Holiday Delights Tour, where it's going to take you into the Magic Kingdom. It's going to kind of show you around. You get to go over to the Whispering Canyon Cafe over at the Wilderness Lodge. Wow. And you basically get to see a lot of the ways they decorate the park. And then you get to go over to Epcot and see how they decorate and set up for the Candlelight Processional.
Oh, see, now that's exactly something that we would be interested in doing. Even so much as to go check out, you know, where they store things. I think that could probably be a year-round tour.
Oh, no doubt, because they store a lot of the stuff on property. I remember the keys, too, going back to where they had the warehouse with all the parade floats in it. And they actually had the Christmas floats in there kind of, you know, waiting and hanging out for the season and such like that, being repaired and stuff. Cool stuff to see.
Yeah, that whole entire parade float area was awesome. Mm-hmm. So now, I could sit back there and watch that stuff all day long. So I couldn't imagine. I understand why it's a seasonal tour, but I would certainly be willing to go to that warehouse where they keep everything, where they're working on it all year long. We watch those specials. Why can't I go and visit that warehouse where they're working on it and see it happening in August, September, October?
I could totally see that being a great tour, because when I was a cast member and we did orientation, which we're back behind the scenes at Magic Kingdom, and I actually got to see some of those warehouses where they stored some of the Christmas decorations. So I could totally see that being a great tour.
Do you think that would apply? Do you think that would appeal to the masses, though? Like, we're extra special Disney nerds, so sometimes I share stuff on our page or in the group that I think is really cool. And, you know, just because I think we're kind of extreme Disney nerds, but it doesn't go over well with just the average Disney fan, or even, you know, people that we consider themselves Disney fans, but not super nerdy.
Right.
And I would argue that most of the tours are not necessarily, they don't necessarily appeal to the masses. They appeal to the nerd like you guys.
But I tell you what, they each have a hook, like the behind the steam trains tour trains. Now that's a little bit bigger audience right there.
Yeah, it picks up a different niche.
Keys to the Kingdom. Yeah, it's the
utilidors. I was going to say that.
Right, you want to get underground and see those utilidors you heard about. That's kind of the hook for that one. So I could see where those are kind of different things, but maybe the tour we're talking about might not have the big enough hook to get the masses, perhaps. But then, you know what, kind of make that part of another tour and combine them together. I don't know.
I don't really know. I don't really know about that, though, because there's some people that go to Disney. Like, perfect example, my mom loves Christmas. She obviously goes to the parks with me sometimes, but she loves Christmas. Like, the house looks like Griswold family Christmas, how much light she has my dad put on that house. So I could see that appealing to somebody like her who just loves Christmas.
Sure. The Christmas hook.
Christmas in July. Right.
And really that is the hook, because think about how busy Ye Olde Christmas Shop is all year long.
Yes.
Yes, you're right. You're totally right. And that's a huge store that they have a lot in there for.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Even the Christmas shop at Disney Springs, which I had to work at when I was in the college program. I laughed because I did not like the costume whatsoever. But that place is always busy.
Did they have like the Mrs. Claus type, like long dress flannel or something like that?
Oh, it was the most. I'm not a skirt and dress person to begin with. So then you stick me in a red Christmas skirt and like fluffy white shirt in March. I was not happy with that.
The spirit.
Right. Now, I tell you what, when I was reading through one of those other, there's another Yuletide fantasy tour around that time, and they do actually stop at a couple places and talk about the costuming for the shows that they have at the Magic Kingdom and one of the hotels, too. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Although I tell you, that I'm not sure how much of a tour you could have just on, I guess it's your interest, but just on like costuming and things like that. I think you would have to kind of combine that more so.
Oh, I don't know. Once you see those warehouses where they have the costuming, just the sheer volume and the detail and everything. I mean, obviously, like a huge Disney nerd would go after that, but somebody that's into like fashion design or something like that, or just fashion and all that, might be interested in that kind of tour.
Sure. And I'm actually thinking of ways to stretch it. You know what? Bring them into the area and actually dress them up in a uniform. Let them pick out a costume of the park. They get to take a picture in front of a big wall that has no, there's no way you can tell that's a real cast member. The wall itself says, you know, fan of Disney or tour or whatever, so you can't confuse them. But still, getting a picture taken in like the Haunted Mansion costume, wow, that would be so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to another one. Anybody else have an idea what they want to see tour-wise?
I actually had an idea. I remember years ago there used to be that boardwalk tour of the like the boardwalk area, and the idea of touring resorts I think would be really interesting because they're so uniquely themed, to like learn the history of why it's themed like that, where's the inspiration from, and all these little tidbits that you might not know just walking through the lobby. I think that would be a really, really cool tour.
Me and Ed have done that tour. That was the first year of the Disney Nerds podcast meetups on the Thursday before. That's what we did kind of as a group, just us, me, Ed, Jennifer, Sam. We all did the boardwalk tour. And I think those are very, that was a very, very cool tour. And I don't remember, Sam could tell you, where the cast member who did that tour came from. He came from another hotel.
Animal Kingdom.
Was it there?
Yep. He came from the Animal Kingdom because that was the other resort that had a tour that was similar.
And when he left, they stopped doing the tour there and they put him at Boardwalk and he started doing a tour at Boardwalk. So it was a free tour too. So it was awesome. It didn't cost anything. You just showed up at 9 o'clock in the morning and they walked you around. And I think tours like that can happen. I think you just need the right cast member who's willing to invest the time and the knowledge and doesn't mind doing it.
Oh, no doubt. And it was, I think it was a management level person that came over, made the switch, but it was the lead bellman that took us on the tour. And what was cool, this is a great trivia question, because this was the first time I got something for nothing at Disney World, meaning the tour was free, which was incredible. We had to call ahead and set it up, which Sam did for us. And at the end of the tour, we even got ice cream. And how good was that?
Yep, sure did.
Well, it was 10 in the morning, cool, though, so ice cream at 10. But still, it was free.
Free ice cream is good at any time.
Yep.
Yeah, and especially when it's at Disney.
Exactly.
Right. There's no time limit on when free ice cream is bad.
Very cool. But getting back to the point of a resort tour, they said they had done them at Animal Kingdom. And that kind of led the point of, well, why don't they do it at the other resorts? At least some of the more specific or that stand out type of resorts, like the Polynesian or the Contemporary. They were the legacy resorts. They were the first ones. There's got to be a lot of history about those hotels.
And actually, I stayed at Wilderness Lodge maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and they were doing a tour in the lobby, I want to say twice a week, that you just had to, just like the boardwalk, call ahead. It was free to do. And it was early in the morning, and that was when I was enjoying my sleeping in. And I had been up, you know, late the night before, so I never got to do it, which I hate that I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that I think that would be awesome. Those really legacy hotels, or just the ones that are just crowd pleasers, like Animal Kingdom, like Boardwalk and Yacht and Beach and all those. Like
even Port Orleans.
And
the two resorts would make, you could do great tours about the two Port Orleans resorts.
Sure. And get your hook. Animal Kingdom Lodge, well, you're going to get to see the animals at one point. Polynesian, you're going to see the Magic Kingdom from a view you've never seen before. You know, different things like that, try to throw it in there. Or Captain Cook's or, you know, whatever at the resort. So, yeah, definitely resort tours. Now, real quick, too, Wilderness Lodge, they had the train room. Over at the DVC part of the lodge, they have a nice room dedicated to Walt Disney and his love of trains. So throw that on the tour also.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I totally see that. Maybe not so much at the value resorts or some of the moderates perhaps, but I think you kind of maybe stretch it to do a little bit more of what's going on at the hotel behind the scenes too. So always cool.
Yeah, I think if you did a value resort, I feel like you couldn't do just one. Like you'd have to do like all of the all-star resorts or like combine Art of Animation and Pop. Because like one kind of cool tidbit with Art of Animation is that chandelier in the lobby, some of them are signed by the people that like the little pieces of art are signed by the people that either voiced that character or drew that character, had something to do with that character or that movie. And not a lot of people realize that. So to learn that on the tour, I think would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. The thing with the All-Stars is they're somewhat similar other than the lobby somewhat. You'd have to definitely dig up some details, but yeah, it's possible for all of them.
Still could be an hour long. I think there's enough information, even just in the lobby, to do just an hour long tour.
Oh, yeah. Sure. You'll hear about how like things are set up, schedules and stuff. And
could be fun. Yeah, and some of the memorabilia, like especially like Pop Century's got all that. Well, all of them, they all have like some type of memorabilia in the lobbies.
Right. Yeah. Art of Animation alone, I could spend an hour in that lobby looking at all that artwork.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So we got that tour in the books now. What other ideas do we have?
I have, and I'm just kind of spitballing, but something like a Haunted Disney tour and kind of maybe combine some type of tour and back some good information about the Haunted Mansion, but then as well as Tower of Terror.
And right. Jimmy's dying to get beyond that, the velvet rope.
I am.
Dying to get beyond that velvet rope. Imagine being able to walk around that lobby and
I would pay money to walk around the lobby and in Tower of Terror and just take some pictures.
I would love to have both of those empty for pictures any day. That would be like a dream.
That's very yep, true. Call your people, Ed.
Make it happen.
Yeah, I know you know somebody that can make that happen.
We'll get it done.
Get it done.
Awesome. Okay, idea I had for a tour, and this one's one of those where, you know what, probably it's not going to be an easy thing to do, but I think it'll be so interesting. I want to go on a fireworks tour. I want to go to where, you know what, way behind the Magic Kingdom, they shoot off those fireworks in the distance. I want to see what that area looks like. I want to see it like kind of where the launching pads are and things like that. Then take me back to the Magic Kingdom. Show me the control room. We're shooting off the fireworks in the park itself. Maybe a little bit about Tinkerbell. Maybe even go up to the room where she gets released from, perhaps, or at least get up top of the tower and say, hey, you know what, that extra ladder there, that's where she gets released from. I'd love to see of the other fireworks shows. You know what, Illuminations would be cool, but I think I would like to see Fantasmic for behind the scenes. Between the characters and the way the show is set up.
Control room's got to be ridiculous for Fantasmic.
Oh, it's got to be amazing.
You got so many different moving. You got so many different elements, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right. And it's the type of thing where you're going to have a good seat or you're going to be in the control room. So you're going to have the best seat. And, and again, it's fireworks. It's dangerous and such. And it's going to be tough. But I would like to see something like that.
You want to like fireworks.
Well, they don't even do that anymore. I want to push the button at least. You
want to push the button to send the fireworks up. You're like Bean Bunny. I know. You can set off the fireworks.
Very cool. Okay, so where else are we touring? What else do we want to do?
Well, I'll tell you what, Ed. You just appealed to the super tech geek in me. And I would, and you want to talk about a tour that'll never happen because it doesn't appeal to the masses, but I would love to see, and I have asked questions during other tours that I've done. I'd love to see how an attraction works, whether it be a refurbishment or an animatronic. So, you know, bring me into the Hall of Presidents and show me how those animatronics work, or bring me into
American Adventure.
Yeah, American Adventure, absolutely. And how all that scene and set work and lighting, all of that works. How do they make that happen from start to finish?
I got to see a little bit of that in the Marceline the Magic Kingdom tour. Because you get to go in one of the back doors of the Haunted Mansion and walk through a couple rooms, and there's like fluorescent tape on the floor that you have to stay behind, because if you're beyond the tape, that's where people can see you. But you're under the track, and you can look up and you can see the wheels of the vehicles above you kind of riding. And then you get to see a lot of the figures and stuff that's in the ballroom, that the dancers and stuff, and you get to see all that stuff and how it actually, like the mechanical stuff and how it works, and how things that just aren't needed aren't there.
So that could be something that could change anytime you book that tour. Because for me, you know, all right, I'm going to book this tour because I know that Splash Mountain is down for refurbishment. Well, I know that if I book this tour, that's probably where we're going to go. We're going to go check out. Now you're going to go walk through Splash Mountain with the lights on. Or you're going to walk through Haunted Mansion with the lights on. Like you'd look at the schedule and go, okay, the X, Y, and Z are down for refurbishment. That's probably what they're going to show us. I'm going to book this tour.
Right now they're redoing Pirates, so it would be Pirates.
I think just logistically that's so tough. Because while it's down, I got to imagine there's people in there actually working almost all the time. Because they want that down as for as little time as possible.
Yes, but that's what I want to see.
So you want, but then you're in the way.
Right. Now, I wonder if there's a way, like, is there just cameras all through Pirates and that's how they keep track of you? Or are there, like, kind of hide holes?
We get to see the control room, but there are cameras all through there. You can see them sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see them.
They have little reds on them.
Yep.
Well, ideally.
But, I wouldn't mind walking through that, because you got to imagine to some degree, just like they do with Splash, they drain the water.
Sure. I love the idea.
Yeah, and it is a cool idea, but then reality comes in and says it's a construction site. So hard hats?
Right, hard hats, safety glasses.
Safety first.
Although, I tell you what, if you think it through, there's got to be one attraction out there that's got to be worth the while that they could set up like an hour-long tour around, and then you just ride the ride. Like when I did an event, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, where we met a group of people over at Epcot. We had breakfast, and then we went riding on Soarin' as a group. And that was kind of cool. Now, you know what? Give me another half hour talking about Soarin' and the mechanics of it and the movie and things like that. That would be a cool little tour. But you just have to find that right ride.
Maybe even let you, like, there was an area that you could watch Soarin' from, not on the ride.
Oh, right, from down underneath or something.
Like where somebody else is, where they're letting other people ride, and you just get to witness it and see what it looks like and how that, because when you're on it, you know, you can kind of see it, but you can't really see. It'd be such a different point of view if you were just in that room behind a certain area where you watch and other people experience that ride.
Right. Okay, well, cool. Now, and actually that's triggered another thought. This is a really cool idea for another type of tour, is an after-hours tour. So you get at the park at 6 a.m. and see the setup, or you get to the park at midnight and you see the hour down, you know, the drawdown at the end of the day. Maybe.
I like it.
Okay, what else we got, guys? We threw some.
You can do that there. When you just got to apply at Disney. They'll give you, like, a broom.
Yeah, right.
Actually, when I was down there in September, my mom was there for a Disney Institute conference, and she got to go into Hollywood, I think, an hour before the opening, like, while they were setting up for the day, and got to, I forgot what she did, so many things that week, but she came back to the room that night like, I got to see Hollywood. Nobody was there but the cast members. I got to see everybody set up. She was really excited about that.
Oh, right. That's cool. I didn't even think of that aspect of it, because you go to the Magic Kingdom for an early tour, an early breakfast, you go down Main Street with nobody there. That's incredible. So give me that at another park. You know, give me a reason to be there early. Tour.
I mean, one of my personal favorite, like, extra ticketed things that I've ever done is when Epcot did their after hours, where you could do the, like, either a beer tasting or a wine tasting or anything like that. And I did a tequila tasting in Mexico. But when I got done, the park was closed. I got so many awesome shots, like pictures of the World Showcase, because there was nobody there wandering around. Nobody was there. I mean, eventually security kind of, you know, started following me around, and they had to call a bus to get me back to my resort. But man, that was a blast.
I know somebody else has a similar story where somebody had to call a bus to get her.
Oh, that's it. Nothing more than that.
Nah, Lisa, okay. She's told the story before.
Okay, fair enough.
She tried to walk from like Epcot to Fort Wilderness.
Not Epcot. I was trying to walk from the Contemporary to Fort Wilderness before Wilderness Lodge even existed.
Yeah.
I was 14 years old. I'm lucky I'm still alive.
Good stuff.
And I tell that story now to my parents. They both just shake their head. They can't believe it.
You snuck out, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We absolutely snuck out.
Yeah, you snuck
my parents
out.
Had no idea where we were. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. We were coming back from the Contemporary.
Wish I was at the Contemporary right now.
Oh, our friend Mark is down there right now. Mark Yerkes. We've talked to him on the show before, and he's kind of participates a lot in our Facebook page. Him and his family are down there at the Contemporary. We were watching fireworks last night from the room.
Crazy. That's cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Now, that's another resort I'd love that tour. Remember we talked to Contemporary? Perfect. Tell me about those rooms and the way they went in there and how the monorail gets scheduled through the lobby and whatever. I digress.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So another good tour and a topic that we love to talk about is food. So one of the tours I'd like to see is a food tour. Now, one of the things they've been doing the past like 5-6 years is they're making a lot of food off property at Disney Kitchens somewhere in Walt Disney World, but then basically then shipping it to all the different restaurants and all the different areas around the property. I want to see that facility. I think that would be pretty cool. Then drive me on property, bring me to a resort. I want to see how that resort sets up, maybe for one of their high-end restaurants or, you know, basically the whole food and beverage scene there. And then take me over to the park and show me one of the restaurants there. And then let me eat that restaurant. So the chef discussed the food. Now we're going to eat it. I know Victoria and Albert's do have something similar to this when you eat in a kitchen.
And, yeah, chef's table.
Right, right. We did that way back when for our honeymoon. And it was really fun to do. They have a really nice table in there. And it's kind of set up. And you hear the chef explain every course and what you're going to eat and why you're eating it and yada, yada.
You did chef's table at Victoria and Albert's?
I believe so. It was in the kitchen.
That's on people's bucket lists that they never make it to, Ed. It's something to hang your hat on.
That's a big deal. It's my understanding that when you go to the chef's table, there's not even really a menu.
No, there wasn't. You basically sat down and he just
you ask you what you like and what you don't like, right, and he caters to you.
Correct.
That's
but it was so long ago. Amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing. Someday. You should do that again for like your 50th. It's got to be coming up, huh?
Yeah, maybe like 20 years, maybe 25 years.
Wait, he's not that old. What is the matter with you?
But I'll pass that on anyway. We'll start planning it now.
Look, by the time it rolls around, you probably want to start saving for it now.
Right,
you need to start saving now.
Seriously.
I like the idea, though. I like the thought of a food tour. Like, to me, there's a piece of that. They have a tour called Destinations Discovered over at the World Showcase, which is like a 5-hour walking tour that brings you around all the countries and talks to you about the architecture and, you know, all the scenes and how you will kind of go back behind stage in some of them. But to me, I would love to do that from a food perspective.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or a food and beverage perspective. And that'd be a good tour to do. I know that they do a food and wine horticultural tour, but I wouldn't mind doing that in the form of a food and wine Destinations Discovered you know, food and beverage tour.
Oh, sure. And you know what? Actually, you just triggered the perfect way to do it. World Showcase. You're going to pick, or they will pick, probably 7 restaurants that are unique. And we're going to walk around on a tour for 5 hours talking about World Showcase and then sitting down for a half hour to hear about the food of this country, how they prepare it, tasting it, moving on. Sign me up.
I'd sign up for that tour.
Right? I would too. I have a bring back tour that I never experienced.
Yeah, definitely.
We should bring back that Segway tour.
Mm.
Oh my
gosh. And I know that's something that Sam had said that he wanted to see come back. And I kind of agree. I never got a chance to experience that, but I've heard nothing but great things about the Segway tour.
I would do it. I would do the World Showcase Segway tour. That'd be awesome.
Did we ever hear the real reason why it disappeared? I mean, it had to be liability.
Oh, I'm certain it was. But or timing-wise.
I think timing more than anything, because I think they still do it at Fort Wilderness, don't they? They still do something with a Segway,
The off-road Segways?
But you know something? Now that you mention that, I haven't seen a Segway.
Oh, anywhere, you're right.
In a long, long time. Not just a tour. I mean, I haven't seen cast members on them.
And you're right. There were a lot of management zipping around on those. That must be something. Somebody ran over somebody at one point, and it just cost too much to fix that problem. Right. You know, and I tell you what, that was one of the saddest things, because when Quinn turned 16, he was 15 or whatever, up till we got to 16, that was his big gift. He's like, when I get to be 16, Pops, I want to go on the Segways, because you couldn't until you're 16. Mm. And wouldn't you know it, 15 and a half, that's when they shut him down.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, the keys to the kingdom worked out, but still, I would have loved the Segways. And you know what? I never even had a chance to try it over at
Intervention. I was about to say.
Right, because they had the little area set up where you can kind of try out a Segway and see it. They had to have people falling off of those left and right.
Me and Kim, we did it, and it made me want to do a Segway tour. Kim had trouble getting the hang of it.
Right. Well, that was supposed to be the transportation of the future, and I guess it didn't work out.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah, Segways always made me nervous. I don't think I have the coordination for one personally.
Well, that seemed to be a big thing. Like, you either got it or you didn't get it.
Yeah.
But
it still exists, boys and girls.
Over at
Fort Wilderness. Yep.
Go wild on two wheels.
That could potentially be a tour we will do. That might be it. I think we came up with it.
What's the price tag on that one, Lise?
That I don't see a price tag on it, actually. It's not
free. Awesome.
It's free.
Color. It's one of those things, if you have to ask, it's too expensive.
You have to stay in 10. Right. Very cool. We'll have to look into that, actually, and kind of see if we can find out for real if it's still around.
Thursday before, or the Friday morning before our fall meetup?
Yeah, I mean, we got to come up with something. So we'll
do something special every year that's just, you know, just us, we experience together, which is awesome. I look forward to that every year.
Sure.
Yeah, can we look up, can I rent an ECV and do the Segway tour? Because I think that's the only way I'll be safe.
Morgan's going to follow us in a golf cart.
Right.
You know, okay.
I have golf cart experience. I'm good.
And why not do that? Do that same Epcot tour, but like, do it in golf carts, World Showcase it, before the park opens again. Coming back to that idea.
Morgan, those golf carts do a pretty good job of balancing themselves.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't fall off a golf cart.
Oh, you can. I have.
Oh, yeah, I have too.
Oh, no, I've knocked people off the golf cart because that's because they were hanging off the side, though. But me driving, I'm not falling off.
That's a good point.
Cool. Yep. Okay, I have a tour for you. Now, again, this is going to fall into the category. There's probably not too many people that want to do this one. But give me a tour of Tom Sawyer Island. You know, I'm sure I don't know everything that's on there. I'm sure there's plenty of it that I'm missing. It'd be kind of nice to do. Or give me some type of maybe map that I could take on the island with me. I could pick up over at the dock, and it takes me on the island with that.
Hmm.
Actually, what would be cool is not so much a map, but an aspect of the app just put some headphones in and have a self-guided tour of Tom Sawyer Island.
Oh, sure. Well, as Jimmy pointed out, I'm the old guy, so I didn't get there that quickly. But yeah, map, app. Yeah, I got it. Very cool. And that would be perfect. And it'd be GPS orientated because it's going to know where you are and you'll be able to follow yourself on the island. That'd actually be really cool.
Or even because I've done like a local art museum and you scan, like there's one of those, what they call the codes that you scan. They're not the barcodes.
QR code.
So it knows, okay, you're at point A and they start telling you about it.
Oh, that's perfect. You're right. That is pretty awesome. Now, a while back, real quick, I was playing with barcodes like 20 years ago. I thought for sure they would be everywhere telling you all the information you needed to know. Another technology didn't go that far.
Mm.
Okay, so any more tours? What else do we want to see? Anything else out there? Okay, well, here's what I have. A tour you can go on by yourself or with your family or with your friends that will cost you not a dime. The title of this tour is the Chicken Exit Tour. Now, before on the show in the past, we've mentioned chicken exits. But for those of you that might not have heard those shows or know what that is, a chicken exit is a way to get off a ride once you're inside the attraction. Now, there's a lot of times as you're going back and forth in the lines outside, you can get off the line and basically find your way out and basically get off of it. And the reasons being, well, maybe a kid has to go to the bathroom. Maybe you changed your mind. Maybe the line's a little longer than you thought and you have a reservation. Well, once you get inside the attraction, though, it gets a little bit more difficult. We found in the past that the chicken exits, the way you can get off of these rides, could be almost as fun as the ride itself. Let me give you an example. The Tower of Terror. Okay, what is it? It's a ride where you get in an elevator that goes out of control up and down and takes you for a big ride. So we're online one day. Son said, you know what? Not feeling it. Don't want to do it. Can we get off the line and we do something else? We told the cast member. He's like, okay, sure. Come over here. Where the elevators are downstairs in the basement, there's this one doorway between them. So we went through the doorway. And wouldn't you know it, they put us on an elevator. The elevator goes downstairs another level and lets you out by where the photo booth area is or the photo pickup area was. But the irony of missing the ride because you didn't want to ride it, going through the door and getting on an elevator was really funny.
Like, is this a joke?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, really? Is this what you're going to do to me now? I would expect at least stairs or something because it is only the one floor. But so anyway, a lot of those rides have really, really cool chicken exits. Have you guys experienced any of these? And like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I've never gone through a chicken exit other than that's not true. I've gotten just recently went off Mission Space because one of my kids had a panic attack, but mm-hmm. I know the only good one is Tower of Terror from what I experienced.
Mm.
Right. Now, we've used chicken exits for Test Track, which wasn't that exciting. What else?
When Wyatt was younger, they used it. Kim went with him through the chicken exit on Rock and Roller Coaster. But I think that's just a door that just brings you to the exit, right?
Right. It brings you behind where you – when you're online getting ready to get on the roller coaster itself and you're looking straight ahead, it's basically behind where the roller coasters are coming out. You're right. But still, right. It's kind of different. A little cool.
Yes.
Haunted Mansion is a pretty cool one because you get to go through a hallway that the people on the tour get to see. And it's a pretty cool hallway because it's the one that has – the little bells hanging up with the name tags of the different servants in the mansion, and it's all the Imagineers that worked on the Haunted Mansion. So that's
if you catch it just right, that's where the break room is.
Okay, fair enough. Now, when you guys exit the stretching room, as soon as you exit the stretching room, it's a doorway right across from you is that chicken exit doorway. But there's plenty, and you know what? We are going to probably visit this idea one more time down the road. And go over every chicken exit in the park so you can kind of plan your tour. Okay, guys. Well, I hope Disney's listening because I want these tours ready for the next time we go down. Well, except for Morgan, who's going in a couple of days.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they work that quick.
Yeah, we'll cut them some slack for that trip.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is hear from you. What tours do you want to see at Walt Disney World or at Disneyland? We haven't even touched on that yet. Let us know. Jimmy, tell us how they can let us know.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at Ed at the Disney Nerds Podcast.com, Jimmy at the Disney Nerds Podcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at the Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, for Morgan, Lisa, Jimmy, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Guaharini.
So long, everybody.
Bye, y'all.